Hello, this is Michael Zuber, and I wanted to thank you for choosing to spend a little time with One Rental at a Time. My life's mission is to help investors close 1 million rental properties. In order to tackle this crazy goal, I will need your help. If you like this episode or any of the content we produce, please share it on social media. If you get one of my books or perhaps one of our 500 cards, please take a selfie and tag One Rental at a Time. Now on with the show.
Alrighty, folks, we got to have a conversation about the broken housing market. We are having more and more individuals come to me saying, Zuber, I get it. You're right. Thank you. But darn it, how long is it going to take? So we're going to have a great conversation with Mr. Jonathan Twomley. We're going to look at what I affectionately call the 54-year spreadsheet, which has economic data sourced back to 1970. And we're going to take a chance at looking at just how long it might take. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Michael. Good to see you.
Absolutely. So this is actually something you and I looked at, I think, about a year ago or so, kind of just understanding what it had. I'm going to assume the audience has not seen it, so some of this for you will be a repeat. But let's get into it. Let's kind of break down how long the housing market is going to be broken or could be broken. So, folks, again, if you don't know, I believe this spreadsheet has so much value in it. I give it away for free. How do you get your copy? You simply go to onerentalatatime.com. In the lower right corner, it says 54-year spreadsheet. Click on that box, give me your email, and bingo, bango, you will get this in your email. Just to give you a lay of the land, what you will see down the first column or column A is all of the economic metrics. Across row one are the years starting at 1970. We've just added 2023. For those of you that want to geek out in data and maybe check me and see what I'm doing, congratulations. Every record has a source, many of them being the St. Louis Fed, some of them being, NAR or St. Louis Fed. All of the data is there. Go nuts. Put in your own data, add data, whatever you want. So, and then of course we got graphs and all kinds of stuff, but let's get into the data. Again, this spreadsheet is yours for free. So Jonathan, you've seen this before. Yes.
Yes, I have. It's been a while, but this is a very cool spreadsheet.
Yeah, again, it allows you to, it's all kinds of stuff. It's got wages, it's got inflation, the misery index, it's got stocks and GDP. But what I want to do is we're going to focus on home sales. Okay. So let me just, let's kind of get in here and we're going to highlight some records. And this is, again, for folks to have fun. So we're going to put those in yellow so they're easy to see. We should talk about, let's highlight interest rates. We'll put that in a different color. Let's make that green. And what about inflation? We'll put that. Inflation's bad, so we'll put that in red.
Hey, and listen, highlight also the home ownership rate, because I want to talk about that later when we get
Love it. I like the home ownership rate, so we're going to make that purple, because of course that's my favorite color, as my audience knows. Okay, so we're going to get into this again. And what I want to key on first is we're going to scroll over to 1978. We're going to make 1978 the first column. So why 1978? Well, 1978 is when inflation started taking off. Again, you can see it down in red. It's at 7.63%. We do have a mortgage rate at over 9.5%. And we've done a total transaction sales of existing plus new home sales of 4.8 million. Is that, you see all of that, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess what happened, folks? Inflation started to take off. Look at that. 1979, it jumps from 7 to 11. It doesn't get better in 1980. It goes to 13%. It's still double digits in 1981. 1981 is an important year, as you will see in a minute, because Paul Volcker comes in and says, that is enough. I've had enough. We're going to 18%. And then we break the back of inflation. It drops pretty precipitously. Ultimately, by 1986, being sub 2%. So this is the start of the journey. Inflation is hot. It's hot for a while. The Fed comes in and raises rates. So next, we will look at what happened to mortgage rates. Mortgage rates, again, start this journey above inflation. It's interestingly to look at, inflation and interest rates were about the same number in 1979, if you can believe that. So you were getting free money in 1979. Inflation was 11.25 and mortgages were 11.2. Again, it doesn't get better from there. It goes to 13, almost 13.75. Again, mortgage rates are up, again, just slightly above inflation. 1981, I told you 1981 was important. This is when Paul Volcker came in and said, I'm going to kick it in the teeth. It took rates to 16%, kept them there in 1982, kept them above 10% until 1990. Folks, the 30-year mortgage was double digits until 1990. How many of you thought that was possible?
Yeah. And listen, it's a great time to own bonds or just stick your money in a savings account. I mean, you were getting real positive interest rates on your money, just by sticking it in the bank.
But I really want people to see, again, inflation broke in 86. It went sub 2%. But we had mortgage rates double digits for another 5 years.
Yeah.
But now to our question. We started this question with Zuber. How long is the housing market going to be broken? So we're going to go to this record. We are going to highlight this in its own color. We will make it blue. So I'm going to count the years for total transactions to equal or exceed 4.8 million. You ready, Jonathan?
All right, let's do it.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years. So folks, the housing market could be broken for a decade plus. How many of you thought that was possible? 1978 to 1996. 1996.
Yeah.
And think about the population. Do you think the population in the United States was a little bit bigger in 96 than 1978?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Do you have the population here? That's what I wanted
I don't, but you know what? I will Google 1978. Why don't you pull out your phone and look at 1996?
Right.
Let's just partner on this. So U.S. population 1978. So I'll get the first number. According to a quick Google search, 1978, the U.S. population was 222.6 million.
Yeah. So in 96, it was 269.7 million.
All right. So let's do a quick math on that. How much did we grow?
About 41. Right?
Yeah. 40. Yeah. I'm going to get the percentage divided by 269.7 equals minus one. We were only 17.5% larger.
Well. Well, but still, it's a lot. I mean, and it takes you that long to get transactions back to the same point. It's incredible. Yeah, and so even though interest rates fell, I mean, look at
exactly.
Yeah, so between 81 and 96, interest rates fell by more than half.
Yep, and still, exactly.
Yeah.
So, folks, everybody wants the housing market to be fixed in a month, a quarter, a year. I'm here to tell you, it might take a decade. It might take a decade.
And here's something else I think that needs to be said as well. So if you have the opposite phenomenon in this point, like in this period of time, than you have now, because in this period of time you had interest rates falling, right? And so people weren't locked into mortgages. I mean, a lot of people refinancing throughout this period, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because I remember my dad bought his house in 1978 and interest rates were pretty high. He just missed. So 9.64%, right? 30-year mortgage. I mean, interest rates were falling during this period and the market was still not quite recovering. Now you got a situation where interest rates are higher and all these people are locked in. Right. So how long is it going to take to work that through the system?
I haven't done the math on this, but, you want to see what's really funny?
Yeah.
So we just talked about transactions taking 18 years. What do you think happened to home prices from 1978 to 1996?
Oh, I'm sure they went up, but I can't guess as to how much they went up.
All right. Well, let's find out.
Oh, yeah. It's right there. Yeah. So they went.
So a median home price in 1978. Let's just highlight this again so people can see it. We'll make that orange. And oh, by the way, we're going to scroll over here to 1996 because that's when the housing market got better.
Yeah.
It was 139. So what, 139?
Yeah, it's like 2.5 times.
Yeah. So again, folks, we can have a housing crash in transactions that does not lead to a home price crash.
Yeah.
People just don't seem to understand that, but I keep screaming it from the hills.
Yeah, you know what would be interesting is so you have the inflation rate.
Right? I do.
Mm-hmm. So to compare the cumulative inflation rate over that period of time and house price growth, right? I guess basically what 19, so if you had.
Right here, we have nominal and real.
Yeah.
Home price appreciation. So real, let's do real. Let's do nominal first. We'll do nominal first just because it's fun. We'll just add this all up. We got to go all the way out to 1996. Sorry, folks. We got to scroll. 96. So looking at the bottom of the screen, cumulative 110%, average 5.8%. Again, folks, that's nominal, not real. So now let's do real. All the way back to 1978. We got to scroll. There we go. We have 11. Let's call it 11 and a half with an average of 0.6. Historically, over 50 years, the real rate of home appreciation is roughly 1% for 50 years. 1% above inflation.
Right, right. So real appreciation.
Correct. Yeah. So we did calculate that.
And so what was the cumulative appreciation, like the cumulative inflation rate?
Oh, the cumulative. Okay, we have that. Where's CPI? So here we go. Well, it's got to be 100%, right? Just given the other.
Yeah.
So let's find out. Or maybe 98 or something. I don't know. We'll find out. I have it. So we'll find out together. 102%. Yeah, it went up. Cumulative cumulative inflation was 102%. Right. And the average, let's just round it to 5% between friends.
So basically, the dollar dropped by half its value in that time.
Right? Exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. Damn near. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you owned a house, you kept pace with inflation. So
well, in fairness, you did a little bit better because most people have debt, right? So it's levered, right? So you're putting 10% down, you get all the upside with only 10% down. But yes, I mean math, it like. You basically kept up with inflation, yes.
Yeah, if you bought a house for cash,
you
a little correct. Better. You get 10% or 11% real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it's very interesting.
I mean, well, let's see what happened to stocks. I have stocks, man. This spreadsheet's got mass stuff in it. So let's do nominal first. This is stock. This is the S&P 500.
Yeah.
Again, it's always fun. How do stocks do? So stocks, stocks went up 100 and let's call it 200%. Average return was 10%. So stocks look like they did a little bit better. And now we'll do the real. Oh, it's a 96. Too fast, too far. There we go. Where are we? 18% a year. No, that's 18, a little bit better.
Yeah.
And they got a full 1%. So not much better, right? Houses were 0.6. Stocks are 0.6. Basically 1%.
Yeah, but the compounding, I mean, you're talking the sum, they got 18% versus 11. But the thing is, you can't lever stocks. Well, you can't
lever up. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
You can't lever up, certainly. Yeah, so that's why when people do stocks and real estate, I like that's kind of comical, right? Because I can get 90% leverage in real estate really, really easy, and you can't really do that in stocks. But yeah, well, let's look at GDP. How about that? That ought to be interesting. Yeah. So I only have the GDP rate. I did not create a real version of that, but let's see what GDP did. Oh, GDP was terrible. It's up 60%, not inflation adjusted. So, inflation adjusted. That means it was negative.
Hmm. Well, I wonder how that's calculated, though. Is that calculated?
GDP is not inflation adjusted number. No, GDP is always nominal.
Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, let's look at unemployment. I'm just curious what happened to unemployment. So we start 1978 at 6%. It spikes in 82, which again is the year after we took rates up, stays above 9%, stays above, when did it, so it got below, so below 1978 was 10 years. So unemployment got better in a decade.
Yeah. But listen, I mean, it didn't start, but I mean, even, I don't know about you, but I remember as a kid and like a you know, young man that 5% unemployment seemed like a really hot economy. Remember that?
No, I have an econ degree. I studied economics in college. So that would have been like 90 to like 95 or something.
Yeah.
And 6%, Jonathan, was full employment.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember
I was beaten on that.
Yeah. I remember like talking about what, you know, they were debating what the full employment number was, and it was like 5-6%.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And I remember taking like economics 101, and then they were and having them talk about, because you know it was like I was not an economist, so all this stuff was foreign to me. I remember them talking about like, well, you want to have unemployment around 5%. I remember like, well, why don't you want to have zero unemployment? Why do you want to have? It seems horrible, you know. But
yeah, exactly. No, yeah. Listen, nobody should be unemployed.
Yeah. So yeah, just not understanding that it's like, yeah, it's just frictional unemployment. There's always going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to go back to the homeownership rate.
Oh, yeah. Let me go back there. Sorry. I can do that. I still have it. There we go.
Because I wanted to, and let's look at, so the homeownership rate, just sort of scan it. So basically 64, 64, 65, 65, yeah. 64, 63. And just keep on going out, like just scroll all the way out. Mm-hmm. And just 64, 64, just keeps going.
Yep.
64, 65.
Yep.
You know, starts climbing a little bit in the early 2000s because the government was pushing homeownership. Mm-hmm. So you get to 68. And
69, 2004, I think was the peak.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
you know, you're 65. Bad things happen.
So, yep. But it declines a little bit. Then we're at 63 and then back at 64.
Yep.
And so what I want to know is, Michael, where is Renter Nation?
Exactly.
Where is Renter Nation? Where is it? I can't find it. I can't see it anywhere. They keep on telling me that we live in Renter Nation.
And no, and what's really wild is it's gone up for three years in a row.
Yeah. As the multifamily industry keeps on insisting that we live in Renter Nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, you're probably not following these debates as much as I do, but that constant drumbeat from the talking heads and the casual talking heads.
Mm-hmm.
In multifamily land is, it's Renter Nation, folks. Nobody owns a house anymore. Nobody wants to own a house.
It's just math, Jonathan. It's just math.
What's that?
It's just math. It's not true. It's just fundamentally a lie.
And then they're like, well, but look at young people. They can't. They're not buying. And like, well, yeah, but young people always have lower homeownership.
Yeah, when you were young, you didn't own either. Stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Like I didn't own a home when I was 25.
I didn't own a home until I was 31.
Yeah, I didn't own a home until I was like 36. So it's the whole idea is, and then, well, the baby boomers are owning all the homes and the young people can't buy them. It's like, well, the baby boomers are going to die.
Right? they all go out the same way.
Yeah, like they are going, those homes will be passed on to other people.
Yeah.
And like it's, and frankly, and we have, you know, our population growth has peaked in the US anyway. So it's like there's, the whole idea that we're turning into Renter Nation and, you know, we're going to be like, you know.
No.
And then somebody.
So I actually, again, I geek out on data. So I did this whole high, low, median, average thing in home ownership rates right here.
Cool. We've already done.
Peaked at 69, low 63.4, 2016. Here's the 54-year average. It's all there.
Yeah. And where are we now? What's the right now? Is on the right? Is this current? We're on the right.
So yeah, well, it's current. I only go to 23, so I don't have 24 today. I do. This is a yearly. I don't update this monthly. It'd be too much.
I want to see actually current U.S. home ownership rate. I bet you there's statistic. There's noise.
It's noise. It can't move that much. Can't move that fast. I don't know. I have the data source. I think I listed for that. Home ownership rate, St. Louis. You know what? Let's click on it. I don't know what happens on Zoom if I do
So according to Property Chart,
okay,
the home ownership rate on March 20th was 65.2.
Okay, so yeah, that's within.
According to Investor Perspectives, the fourth Q4 2023, 65.7%. So it's, you know, the
not
whole
renter nation.
Yeah, the whole, it's just bouncing around that 65. It's just bouncing around, right? No. Basically. So
going back to the very early part of this conversation, the housing market can stay broken a lot longer than you think. In this case, 18 years. Interest rates affect transactions, not price. Again, it blows people's minds. The other thing, you know what's on the spreadsheet? Affordability. This is another one. Let's bring it back up. Home affordability. How many times have you heard it's so unaffordable, nobody can buy a home?
Yeah, all the time.
So I have affordability on here. Here we go. It's home affordability. And let's make this, I don't know, we'll make this. Oh, no, that's, I don't want, sorry. It's, I don't, I got clicked on the wrong thing. I want to make this fill. We'll make it orange. What the heck? Home affordability. So let's go back and look at affordability in 1978. Again, the number doesn't mean anything. Just watch the trend. Okay. So in 1978, we start at 96. It gets worse.
Yeah.
And it bottoms here in 1981. Why would it bottom in 1981, Jonathan? Because mortgage rates were 16%.
So what is it? Sorry, what does this number mean, though? This is the median price income ratio.
So basically, it's income versus price versus interest rate. It's a math formula. You can see in the whatever this thing up
and
here.
So lower is better or worse?
Lower is worse. Okay. Higher means more affordable in this case. Yeah, so just watch the trend. It going lower, bad. Going higher, good. So again, it bottoms in 1981, and it gets better for years. Yeah. All right, look at this. Now it's over 100. And we were going out to 96, right? So again, 96 goes to 109 and gets better from there for a couple more years. Now people want to talk about 20, you know, hey, it's so unaffordable. Again, what was the number? So what was the number? Sorry, I didn't mentally get it. So the low in 81 was 60. Let's just call it 60 for easy math. So let's go to the last couple of years. I lost my mind when people were saying in 2020 it was bad to buy housing.
Yeah.
Because it was mathematically, Jonathan, the best year in 54 years to buy a home. 2020 was the most affordable year in 54 years. Wow. And we have these housing clowns and doomers talking about a crash. Then these morons and idiots go, oh, okay. We got 2020 wrong. We still have a housing crash. You were in the statistically top five most affordable years ever.
Right.
Oh, wait, 2022. You are still just about the average affordability in 2022. Oh, no, wait, 23. Now you're heading to below average, but you are 50% above 1981. 1981 was 60. You are at the, now how can this be? Well, rates in 2023 were 7%, not 18. Wages are up, you know, from there, and prices. So again, this whole nobody can buy nonsense is just factually incorrect. The whole early 80s were worse than 2023. Yeah. That's, people just are like, they don't zoom out. And the other thing, again, I want people to hear this. 1981 was 50% less affordable than 2023. And Jonathan, we still did almost 3 million transactions.
Right.
We didn't do zero.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do zero.
Can you, so, go ahead.
I was just going to come back.
I was going to point out too that the transaction volume right? Yep. Is
that's where I was going.
You know, obviously, if you look at 2023 versus 2021, you know, dropped off a cliff, 2 million, you know, but there's still $4.8 million, you know, 4.8 million yeah. transactions. And you're right on the yeah. button on the average there, right? Almost.
Exactly.
So yeah. what is the average, what was I going to ask? Oh, the average interest rate over 30 years is what? 7.74%,
yep.
right? So mm-hmm. we're still below average.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is also, you just hear people complaining about like, yeah. oh, interest rates higher for longer, higher for longer. Well, how about like normal?
Yeah, normal for longer.
Normal for once, you know, like it's just crazy. It's just every time I see somebody say, are we, you know, higher for longer, are we going to have higher for longer? I'm like, what higher, what's higher? Higher than
yeah,
what?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Higher so at the end of the day, the housing market is going to be broke for a long time. Exist a trend. Don't equate transactions with price. Yeah. Don't believe all the nonsense about affordability, this or that. It's like, it's still going to transact, still going to have stuff. The housing market will be slower. It will be slower. If you are a motivated seller that has to sell and the property's not perfect, you're going to get a lower price because yeah. a slower housing market means you have to meet the market. But all these morons, dude, it pisses me off. These morons talking about a housing crash in 2020 and 2021 when they were, 2020 was the most affordable year. 2021 was in the top five. It's criminal what these doomers and idiots we're doing. Yeah. That's why yeah, we have the spreadsheet. People go get it themselves.
I love the you know your idea that that higher interest rates craters volume, but it doesn't crater price. And unlike with commercial, right? Then that's a different story.
Correct, because that's a different story.
Because yeah. you're not buying because you need a place to live and you fall
exactly.
in love with whatever it is, you know, your math has to work for you to buy it. And so we have seen, there was somebody published something today on LinkedIn that surprised me that now Green Street is saying that the total multifamily decline in value now exceeds the great financial crisis.
I've heard that as well too. Yeah.
Which, I was surprised to see because it took quite a hit in the GFC, but I think there wasn't a run up in prices before the GFC in commercial property the way there was.
Yeah, the reason that multifamily commercial, really multifamily is feeling this pain, and we've talked about it, was the people constantly retrading the same asset.
Yeah.
Playing what I call the great of fool theory, right? Buy it, fix up 10%, prove value, sell it, prove value, sell it. And that all of that was, in my opinion, financial engineering that now needs to be wrung out of the system. And there's a lot of losses coming.
There was no real value created during
correct.
Just constant churning of assets.
It was financial engineering. That's all it was.
Financial engineering and now it's FOMO, right? Because
FOMO. Exactly.
I mean, because honestly, when I got into the business, and we're getting a little off topic, but when I got into the business, I was I've been talking a lot about this recently, but the definition of value add changed, right? When I got into the business, value add meant you completely rehabilitated a property.
Mm-hmm. You went
rent roll. You went from one type of property essentially to another. You repositioned it. You raised it.
But it wasn't months. It could be years to do it.
Yeah, it would take 12 months. Like someone who knew what they were doing could do it in 12 months.
Yeah,
but then what happened was people started renovating a couple of units, saying, "Look what we did."
Yeah, you could do it too.
Look how much more rent we got. And now you do it, but you have to spend the money to do it. So we're gonna pay you. You're gonna pay us the post renovation value, and then you gotta go do the renovation. And it just completely changed. And then people and what people found was they couldn't actually make money by doing the renovations because they'd overpaid.
So they overpaid.
They had to do a few more renovations and then get out quick, right? And
make it somebody else's problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, we're gonna talk about this in video number two. I have a theory. And it's leaning on higher rates. So I'll get to that in a minute. But Jonathan, you do a lot of work on LinkedIn. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, please. That's really where I'm focused my attention these days is on LinkedIn. So please come follow me, shoot me a message, you know, tell me you're from ORAT and I'll accept your LinkedIn connection. But I post a lot of content pretty much every day over there. And, you know, just come and join the conversation.
Awesome. Thank you so much.